Well, hello? Can you hear me? I just don't know how to follow up that, right? So that was the whole preaching, amen? It is amazing because also the songs, they're reflecting how I feel right now, and her testimony, you guys hear why it's also applicable to what God put on my heart to share today. And I just want to say welcome to everyone who are here. My name is Juan, and you know I'm not the regular pastor, so I just hope you don't get scared. For those listening online, I just want to welcome you again, wherever you are. I hope you are blessed today, and that God might speak to you, and that He might use these words to speak to you and direct you on His paths, right? I also want to say thank you to a group that I never really gets a lot of thanks usually, but that's the security group. I don't know where Bill is. You know, it's just all the crazy things that are happening. And, you know, it's always been like that, but we're here sitting down enjoying the service, the worship, but there's people watching over us, right? And I really appreciate the work that they do. And so thank you, Bill, and everyone, the security team. It's amazing to find a church where the security guy makes the same money as church salary as the pastor. So if you want to make a pastor salary and you want to join the team, join, or any other team, right? Any other volunteers. This is a church run by volunteers, and that's amazing. You hardly ever see that, right, in today's age. And so I just want to give thanks to God for that. And let me pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord. I just ask you, Lord, that you go before me, Lord, that you help me to speak today, that you put your words into my mouth, Lord, and that you empty my heart of anything that might not be of you, Lord. I just pray, Lord, for the hearts of the people, Lord, that you will just help them to understand and to capture whatever you have for them, Lord. Even a little glimpse of hope or anything, Lord, I just pray for that. So, Father, I just thank you and I love you and I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. And about 6 weeks ago, it's my fault. I don't know if then the other, the PowerPoints are going to look just like that, maybe. Dusty spoke about 6 weeks ago about grace, right? He even turned into Grace and said, I'm sorry, you're going to hear your name. And we have been hearing her name for the last 6 weeks, right? Today, and the series is great. I recommend if you haven't listened to the whole series, to just go back and listen to it. But today I want to apologize if anyone's name is Mercy, you know, Grace's sister. Because today we're going to talk about Mercy, right? And both of them go together hand in hand, amen? And what it says right there is literally says mercy, living your life in action, living out God's compassion for you, right? And here, let me see. What's the definition of mercy according to dictionary.com? Mercy is that to be compassionate or kindly, forbearance shown towards an offender, an enemy, or other person in one's power. Compassion is pity or benevolence, right? And it says the disposition to be compassionate or forbearing. So basically, that's what it means, the word mercy, right? Now, what does the Bible say about mercy? I mean, the word mercy, as I was trying to do my study, is really complicated in the sense that it's complex, not complicated, because there's several words that in Hebrew and the Greek that use the word to translate it into mercy. And other words, in some places, is also translated into compassion, loving kindness, favor, steadfast love. And those are some of the other words that the Bible uses to translate these words about mercy. But let's look at a story in the Bible of a guy who knew what mercy meant. And if you have your Bible and turn into the book of Jonah, who knows that story of Jonah? Four chapters, really quick, easy read. Basically, the book of Jonah, it says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, Jonah, go to Nineveh, right? And he says, go preach against it because the wickedness has come before me, right? Their wickedness for the city. And of course, what does Jonah do? He goes and preaches, right? No, he turns around and tries to go the other way. I mean, they didn't have airplanes back then, but he would have taken an airplane or something to go the opposite side. He took a ship. And when they were in the water, the storm starts rocking the ship, right? And everyone is like, there's something wrong. What's going on? What have we done? Who has done anything? And Jonah confesses, right? He's like, you know, Jehovah, the God who created the heavens and the earth, like he says, I was terrified when he sent me, and it is my fault that this is happening to us. That's why we're going through this. And he says, why don't you just throw me in the water and everything will be back to normal? And the sailors are like, no, we're just going to take you down to the shore, right? And as they're trying to do that, the storm gets stronger, right? And finally, they're like, here you go, Jonah. And they throw him, right? And it says in the Bible that he was swallowed by a big fish, right? That's on chapter 1. Chapter 2, you see Jonah just praying to God, you know, while he's in there. Like, you could just imagine. Before anyone tells me, Juan, do you believe that story? That is true, or is just a story, a kid's story? I'm going to tell you, if Jesus quoted Jonah's, that will be the sign of him coming back, that 3 days or 3 nights, just like Jonah was on the fish, then I believe it's true. So before anyone says anything about that. So chapter 2, then he goes and starts praying and starts asking God. Finally, towards the end of chapter 2, he says that the fish vomit Jonah, right? It would be cool if it was a whale. It says a fish, but if it was a whale, if it just came out through the water hole, right? Like you see in the movies. No, he says he vomit Jonah. And then in chapter 3, we see that then he goes to Nineveh, right? And he gets there in chapter 3, and then he goes, the word of the Lord came the second time. And he went to the great city and proclaimed the message that God has given him. So this time Jonah obeyed the word, and he went to Nineveh. Now it says in verse 3, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now that Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. But Jonah, by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. So he finally went and preached, and he said, Nineveh is going to be overthrown. It's going to be destroyed. And what did the people do? What did the king do? And the people, they dressed in sackcloth and ashes, and they repented. They repented. And he says that when God saw that they did that, in verse 10 of chapter 3, that they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened, right? Yay for the people. Yay for God. Yay for Jonah, right? And you see in chapter 4 that Noah's reaction was what? Jonah. He wasn't happy. He was angry. But why? And he tells us in chapter 4, verse 1, this is, but Jonah was very angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. He knew, he's saying, I knew that you are gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, and a God who relents from sending calamity. In other Bibles, it says that he is full of mercy instead of compassionate. And you know, he knew. He knew that God was a merciful God, that if he repented from their sins, he was going to forgive them. He wasn't going to bring destruction. He even said in chapter 1, I'm a Hebrew. I know Jehovah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And if you read, turn your Bibles to Exodus, Exodus chapter 34. Basically, this is where the same verse that Jonah said is repeated. And this is a story again, just to have bring into context, where God has given the tablets to Moses, right? And while he was up there, the people in the city were creating a gold, an image of a calf in golden, right? And they were drinking and partying and doing all these detestable things. And God got angry, right? And God destroyed them? Probably he wanted to, right? But Moses pleaded with him. And in chapter 34, it says that, let's see, on verse 6, and he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, Jehovah, the compassionate, the merciful, in other translations, and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellions, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished, that he punishes the children and their children to their sin, to their parents, to the third and fourth generations. And Moses bowed to the ground and once and worshiped, and Lord, he said, I have found favor in your eyes. Let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our weakness and our sins and take us as your inheritance. And God did that. He forgave them. He showed them that God is a merciful God. And you know, what a greater way to show the mercy of God. We sang a song today, the same God, right? Same God from before is still the same God of today. He's the same God. He hasn't changed. And he showed his greater sign of mercy when he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, for our transgressions. He knew that Juan, in my own selfishness, in my own sin, I was going to be rebellious against God. And he knew that beforehand, and yet he still sent his son to die for my sin. He sent his son to die for your sins, for all of you, whatever you were in your life. Maybe you grew up in church, but still, you know, the Bible says that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's condemnation for us. How can we be saved if not for the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross? And he's full of mercy that he said, I love you. I love the world so much that I will send my son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We see in the Bible, when Jesus, as he's going through starting his ministry, that he's walking. And he's walking and being in one with the persons creating relationships. He's seen the blind. He's seen the sick, the demon possessed. He's seen all these people, and he has compassion towards them. And he heals them. He gives vision. He starts doing all these things. In the Bible, we're reading in the book of Mark, and it says that people were following him on the desert. It says, I feel compassion. I have mercy because they've been with me for so many days. I think it says 3 or 4 days, and they haven't eaten nothing. I don't want to send them home because they're going to faint. I say, let's feed them. He did a miracle. You know, and this is where the intersection comes. This is where grace, what Pastor has been talking about. You know, it is by his mercy that we're not being punished, that we're forgiven. Then he gave us grace. And through grace, he gave us the gifts of the Spirit. Like he multiplied the bread. You didn't think that was a gift of the Spirit of providing for the people at the time? I seen miracles. I seen the gifts manifested in my life many times. I could not tell you right now how many times I've seen it. I pray for people to get healed. They have gotten healed. I desire all the gifts, believe me. I have spoken in tongues, right? Not, I could count it with my hand how many times. But I done it. I had given words of wisdom when needed. I have preached, prophesied, teach. I have served. I have shown mercy. But everything is because of the grace of God. Through his mercy, that I'm able to do these things. I desire everything. The reason that I'm here in the front of you is because I ask God, God, empty me. I want to receive of your gift. Which gift? Whatever gift you want to give me today. And I'm speaking to you, not on my own will, power. Believe me, I couldn't even speak before when I was young. I have a story when I was in college. You know, I just came from Mexico. If my English you think is worse, back then it was horrible, right? But I went to college, to the School of Engineering. And after that time, through high school, I didn't have to speak, right? I just will do my writing for tests and everything, like. I didn't have, so that's how I survived, you know, high school without having to speak. But then when I went to college, things changed, right? And I remember the first semester, I'm there, and they're like, you know, the School of Engineering, we're looking for a freshman representative to represent the Hispanic engineers of for the school, you know, in this organization that is nationwide, blah, 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 blah. It's like whoever wants to apply, come, and we're going to have a presentation. Everyone's going to give like a 10-minute speech and why we should vote for you and what you could do, like whatever it was on the big. So we all just went. And you see all these people, all these other presenters talking and very elegant and you know, before that, the whole the meeting, My friends, they're like, Juan, we dare you to go up there and talk. And it's like, that was a dare. I couldn't say no, you know? I was like, but I can't say nothing. I say, and they're like, don't worry, just say anything. And we just wanted, like, for fun. I went, literally, I was like shaking. I couldn't talk. I was like, I went after these amazing people. I was the last one. I don't even remember the words, last but not least, right? And I go there up there, and as I see people start shaking, I can't talk. And I was like, you know, like, vote for Pedro. I was like, all I said was, vote for me, I will make Taco Tuesday. And then the whole room went crazy. True story. And I bail out of there, like, I'm out of here. Guess who became the freshman representative representing the school nationwide? But as time went on, whenever I had to do a speech, I couldn't speak. Today, this morning, as I come, I woke up at 5, 6 in the morning. Next thing you know, like, to me, it's only 5 minutes. I'm so nervous that it's already, I look at the clock and it's like, it's already 9. I need to be at church already. All I'm saying is that God gives you these gifts. But what's the whole point of it? I mean, Pastor David has been talking about it. And what I want to tell you is that to be receiving these gifts, to be receiving his grace, remember, we already saved by his mercy. We need to be active. We need to be seeking. We need to be in the kingdom of God. You know, we can just be receiving and receiving and reading and reading. We need to actually take in the step, moving forward, saying, God, I'm a vessel. I desire your gifts. Which one? All of them. He will give you what needs to be used, given at the time. And whenever, or to whoever, right? This is nothing that we do at will. God just blesses us. Yes, God just does that. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And Pastor David read this, I think, on day one of his sermon. See, Jonah needed to go, not run away. He knew of God's mercy. He knew his power. He knew his love. But he ran the opposite way. When he finally went, that's when God showed up. He's like, that's the person I want to use, right? That's how God is going to use us. Romans 12:1, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, by his mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It says, do not be conformed to this world. This world, guys, this world doesn't want you to be on your knees. This world doesn't want you to be seeking God, praying, fasting. This world wants you to be occupied. And because of we follow this world, we get caught into it, into like everyday shenanigans of this world, and we don't let God work in our lives to experience the gifts, to experience his grace, to experience his mercy, something that has been given already to us. It's for us to already take ownership and say, God, here I am, send me. I want to be used by you. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you might discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You guys have asked this in your life? What's the will of God? Have you asked God, God, what's my will? I don't know, I'm lost. What's my will? Can you tell me? Here's the answer. If you have that question in your life today, if you're asking, what's your will? It says to give your body as a living sacrifice. Verse 3 says, for by the grace, see? First you say, by the mercies of God, and now saying, by the grace given to me, I say to everyone about you to not think of yourself more highly than he ought to think about, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that is given to you, that is assigned to you. And he talks about the body, right? There's many members. And all the members have the same functions, right? And he says, having gifts, this is where grace in action, having those gifts, right? He says, that differ according to the grace given to us. Let it be a gift of prophecy, impartation to our faith, to service, to the one who teaches, to the one who exhorts in his exhortations, to the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. See how everything is related? And then he just keeps on going, Romans 12. Let love be genuine and hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Do another with showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. What is it saying right there? To serve the Lord. Rejoice in the hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Continue to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Those are gifts. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those who curse and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Are we doing that today? Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. And if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. In one spirit, we need to be peaceful. We need to be united. The enemy is trying to separate us. The enemy is trying to destroy the body of Christ. We need to be united. Verse 20 says, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If we're thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap the burning coals on his head. Do not overcome evil, but overcome with evil what is good. About 4 months ago, something happened in specifically to my wife, right? He was visiting his father, and he has a brother who's been consumed by drugs, and he's probably doing the most horrible drugs that you could do. It's not just marijuana anymore. That used to be at the beginning. Now it's everything, right? They kicked him out of the house. He has a warning to not go into the house, but he has nowhere to go. He has no hope. He has nothing. He knows nothing about life. He's just outside. And, you know, his parents, they show mercy. They give him food. They're still like, they want him to change. You know, he's done a lot of things. But this time, 4 months ago, my wife was there, and he starts screaming, yelling. My wife goes out, and Josh, his name is Josh, he starts arguing with the dad. Lucy, my wife, goes, gets in the middle of them, and there's a little hammer. He picks it up, right? And I don't know what happened. I wasn't there, but they're screaming, yelling, pushing. Things are broken, and the guy runs. I believe he was scared. He just ran, right? He's like, don't talk to me or whatever, or like he's been aggressive. That's what drugs are to do to you, no? And sin and everything. It just creates enmity with everyone around. My wife calls me, right? I was like, she's just crying. I couldn't understand. Juan, Josh, try to hit me, blah, blah. Dude, I'm in my house, and I get out, I get my wallet, I get my knife, I get my tortilla maker to walk him around. I get everything that you could imagine to just go and fight this guy. And I know Todd is going to love this, and I just bought a Tesla, right? And every day I'm so good at charging my car. That day I'm like, oh, I got lazy. I was like, I'll go tomorrow. It was like a 5% the day that I needed. So I get in the car, 5%. I was like, I need to go to the charging station. And time is like 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I'm like, no, I need like five. by that time I'm talking and they're like, the cops are here, they took them, nothing's happening, everything's good. So I'm just more calm. I'm like, Lucy, just come home, right? And the cops take him. He has a warrant on his arrest and for trying to hit whatever, because those are the charges. So they take him. They book him. I'm all angry. I'm already. I'm thinking in my head, I'm going to call my homies right away. I get in the flesh. As I know, they'll do some bad stuff. You know, my old homies, like the ones from the hood. And it's like, I start creating my own gang at church. I'm like, I'm going to call Sam. I'm going to call Linda, she's in. I start creating, like, in my mind, like, you know, like, we'll just give him a little warm up and let him go and pray for him at the end, right? Lay hands. And you know, as things are happening, the days are happening, like, as they're going by, I just couldn't, like, all these things that were coming into my head. You know, I met this guy 27 years ago. He was about 5. I used to go to see Lucy because we're dating, and he was, hey, Juan, like, you guys know my story. We couldn't have kids 10 years. So he was like my son, right? Like Lucy would take him everywhere, and her little sister. And to me, God was teaching me, like, Juan, didn't I have mercy upon you? Like, look where you were, where I took you out from. And it was 1 month, 2 months, 3. He was there like for 4 months. Even the judge, he thought there was something wrong with his head, because he couldn't start the trial because the drugs were already demolished him. 2 weeks before that incident, I was sitting on the sidewalk with him. No one goes to him. And I saw him. I went to visit my father-in-law. My wife was already there. And I'm sharing that. Like, I'm sitting next to him, and this love comes. The love that only God could give you. You know? And I see myself. I'm like, I was that person, right? Maybe I wasn't as bad as that, but who says, how can you check balance, right? Like, but still, that could be my son. I pray God not to believe me, but I sat with him for 2 hours, and it was the most beautiful time that me and him have spent on the last 15 years, ever since he got into this whole debacle of drugs and everything. And we wouldn't even say nothing, and he would just be tripping out, like, hey, there's an angel, like, or like crazy stuff, right? All that to say is, like, going back to now to the present, he was let go 3 weeks ago after 4 months of being in the box. And all the hate, all the things that were happening, I've been praying for him, and I just can't do nothing. I'm like, I'm going to go today after church. My wife is already there. That's why she's not here. And, you know, just reach out to him, pray for him. But the whole point is, this is the mercy. That's the whole point that I want to show today. We are to show mercy because God had mercy upon your life one day. He had mercy upon Nineveh. He had mercy upon Israel back in those days. How come we could not show mercy? And guess what? By showing this type of mercy, grace abounds in us. And guess what then gets manifested? The gifts of the Spirit, those gifts that you've been studying, those gifts that you have been praying for. And just let's say, God, use me. It might be a gift of just giving a cup of water. I don't know what gift God is going to give you. But God says, if you gave a cup of water to any of this, it's like you gave it to me. If you visited me in prison, it's like you visited me. That's what mercy is. And God shows us so many, many stories throughout the Bible. In Mark 5, there was a story about the person who was demon possessed. Remember, he had a legion. How many is a legion? Thousands, 10,000, 12,000. He had that many demons. The Lord have mercy on him. He says that he was beating himself with shackles, with chains. He was so powerful. He was possessed. Yet the Lord, when he saw him, he had mercy upon him. He had mercy upon the guy. And he said, after he healed him and he liberated him, he sent the evil spirits to the swine, and they went overboard. This says on Mark 5:19, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, how he has had mercy on you. You see the mercy? And if Jesus did it, the one who showed mercy on me, why would I not show mercy on people? He had mercy on him. He had mercy on all the people who were sick. There's also, believe me, I mean, there was so much. There's also verses in the Bible where it says that people were crying out for mercy. These are the two blind men. He says, have mercy on us, son of David. This is the woman. She was crying and saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter, this is not even for her, is oppressed by a demon. Another one, this is, Lord, have mercy, my son, for he has seizures and he suffers terribly, for often he falls into the fire and often into the water. Have you gotten on your knees and said, Lord, have mercy on Josh? Have mercy on, you put the name right there. Have mercy even on me, a sinner. Help me. These people cry out to God. And he delivered them. The two blind men. They were crying to Jesus. They have mercy on us, son of David. And I love the story of Matthew 9. You know, when it says, when they see Jesus eating with the sinners and the tax collectors. And the people is like, who is this? Look at these people. How many people were around him? They're complaining. Look, who's this guy who's sitting with the sinners, with the tax collector? The worst of the worst. Let me tell you, that's where we're supposed to be. Showing mercy. You want the gifts of the Spirit to be manifested again? Go out into the world. Go out into the people. How is God going to manifest himself when we're occupied by the world, by our work, just sitting in our houses? We need to be sharing the gospel, guys. That's when you ask, oh, I don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit today. They're true. It's just that we're not seeking them. There's parts in this world outside of America where they live every day by the grace, by the gifts of the Spirit, where they live by what they're going to get to eat that day in the middle of the desert, where there's no food, where, like, you name it. They're really living by the faith, by the mercy, by his grace, asking God. And they experience that gift, that testimony every day, because God presents one time after another. We have it too easy, guys. And they were telling Jesus, who is this guy? And God knew their hearts. And he says, look, those who are well, they don't need to come to the doctor. They don't need a physician. But those who are sick are the ones. And then he goes, you go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and no sacrifice. And he says, for I came to call who? The righteous? No. Not to call the righteousness, but the sinners. He came for them. And this is our call for today, guys. It's amazing. It's beautiful. Believe me, to have a community of Christian believers that are united in the faith. It's good. It's awesome. But we also need to be going out there, showing the same type of love, grace, and mercy that God did for us. That's all. So, there's honey on the rock. I think that's... someone said it, I think it was William, you are going to be the closer to God than what people see, right? Your testimony, you showing love, you showing mercy. So if we're not out there, who else is going to show them? This church goes by the slang of Revelation 14:12, right? The testimony, what is it? Those are the ones who keep the testimony, no, the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. It just hurts my heart when churches are fighting over. When he goes, oh, look, they don't keep the law. They don't keep the Sabbath. They don't keep this. Yet, the testimony of Christ is too far away from them. Right? I'm not saying who. I'm not saying nothing. I'm not saying the other are like, yeah, we're showing the testimony of Christ, isn't that? But they're not keeping the commandments, right? Should be both. As God has given you knowledge and wisdom, and knowing that you need to keep the commandments, keep the Sabbath, keep everything, but also what are the weightier matters of the law? Yeah. What is it? It's righteousness, mercy, and faithfulness. I always forget that one. But Pastor David always says it. But that's what it is. What are the matters of the law of you? Jesus was accused. Your disciples are eating on the Sabbath. They're consecrating the Sabbath. They're doing all this work on the Sabbath, and he says, you guys are far from me. Didn't you hear read the law when they went to the temple and ate? I think I have it. They went into the temple and they're guiltless. I tell you something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what it means, it says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for you have condemned the guiltless. And then it says, Matthew 23:23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe the millet and the deal and the cumin, and have neglected, here it is, that neglected the weightiest matter of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. See, I got it right. This ought to have done without neglecting the others. And you know, going back to Noah. Jonah, same thing. Jonah. The Jonas Brothers, same thing. potato, okay, tomatoes. See, I can't even say.
That's all right, you're making us feel good.
Praise God. Jonah, I just need to think of VeggieTales. Jonah. Going back to Jonah, he was sad. And he said, going back to him on chapter 4, verse 3, he says, just take my life. You know, like, he was being a little dramatic. Yeah. And so, and then God is, why are you angry? And then he gave him a shade, right? And he was sitting on the outside of the city. And then the sun started coming and the wind, and he went away. And then he got more angry, right? And he's like condemning the plan, right? And God said in Jonah 4:9, says, God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plan? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry enough to die. And the Lord said, you pity the plan for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came out into being a night and perished in a night. I says, should it not have pitied Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons, who do not know their right hand from their left, and not so much cattle? See? That's the whole point, guys. God without deserving, have mercy on us. Shouldn't we have mercy on the people? How many millions of people are in LA homeless? Not millions of homeless, but millions of people, and then there's a lot of homeless people, right? Shouldn't we just have mercy? Not only in LA, everywhere we go. In our neighborhoods, whatever it is. Jesus was asked one time, he said, Jesus, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus asked him, what does it say on the Bible? And then he said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And he goes, and your neighbor as yourself. Right? He knew it. He knew it here. And then Jesus says, you have answered well. Just do that. And the guy trying to be smart, he said, but who's my neighbor, Jesus? Right? And Jesus replied, and he gave him an example, a parable, and you guys know it all, of a man who was beaten up in the middle of the road. And here comes the, who came first? The Levite. And he saw him, and he just walked by. And then he came, the priest, same thing. Walked by and let him, all beat him in the middle of the road. And then he came a Samaritan, right? And he saw him, and look at the key, he had compassion. He had compassion on that person. He went up to him, and he cured his wounds. He put oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him into the little inn. And he took care of him. And then he even gave money, denarius, to the caretaker of the inn and said, take care of him. And Jesus said, which one do you think is your neighbor? And he said, the guy responded, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus says, you do the same, show mercy. Love you guys. May God be with you. Continue showing you his love and his mercy, and that we might also show mercy as he did to us. Amen. God bless you.